All right, Ron, we are back. It's another episode. My name is Sanjay. I'm the host of My Last Joint Podcast, and I've got here with me Lucas. Now, Lucas is about 3 years and 1 month sober, and I will go on a glimpse and say that's as much as I know here, seeing that we kind of corresponded over the Reddit.
Yes.
Lucas, whereabouts do you live?
I'm from Spain. I'm living right now in Barcelona.
Barcelona. Nice. Okay. So where does your kind of a story begin in terms of weed?
Well, like I think almost everyone, I started with 14, 15 years old. I wanted to be cool. Also, my mom is really in the hippie lifestyle. So she doesn't smoke herself, but I was all around since a kid. And yeah, I don't know how I got so addicted to it, because the first time I smoked, I remember it was really potent. Like, I didn't enjoy it that much, but I kept at it, and yeah, rub it whole.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, Lucas, how old are you now?
I'm 27, almost 28.
27, going 28. And when did you kind of start smoking?
Smoking daily, I think about 17, 18.
17.
But so I started, first joint was like 15, I think.
15, right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Were you in high school when you were smoking?
Yes.
Okay. When back then, when you were, I would imagine that was, you were at the age of 15 or 16, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was weed kind of normalized in the high school? Was it normal for people to kind of smoke in high school?
In some certain groups, in some circles, yes, but it wasn't like you didn't see it every day. It was hidden. I come from a very small town, so it wasn't like super present, but it was there.
Got you. Would you say, I mean, at that point in high school, was kind of a social thing with your friends, so it was already kind of a habit?
Well, it first started being a social stuff, but then I moved to another town and I got lonely and I started smoking by my own. And that's when I think I started being addicted.
Yeah, right on. And that's kind of a, you know, reoccurring theme on the podcast, kind of this transition from social smoking to smoking by yourself. And I mean, at that point, did you actually realize that you made this transition, that you kind of started smoking by yourself? Were you conscious about this?
You always know in the back of your mind there's something, little voice telling you this is not the best, but you keep justifying. No, it's not that bad. It doesn't affect me that much. Like, you keep on and you keep on digging this hole. Then it's really hard to come out. But
So after high school, how does the story go from there?
Well, I keep studying, and yes, I changed to another town. And, well, my story is really it's not the usual, I think, because I went deep. I started going out with the wrong kind of people, doing nothing more than smoking. Obviously, my parents are divorced, so I was living with my father. My father couldn't keep it up, and at the age of 18, he kicked me out with my mother. And that started a depression, deep depression, that lasted for a few years, and to the point that my mother had to kick me out, because she didn't know what to do. My life was a mess. Like, everywhere you look, it was a complete mess. And then I ended up in a how is an, I don't know, abandoned house with friends, with friends. And I tried to went to leave to England to find a new life, but I was running from problems that, that were inside.
Mm-hmm.
So in England, I went like 2 weeks and had a massive panic attack, almost like I don't know how to say it. A massive panic attack, and that was the start of the end. But it took me like 2-3 years before that, for stop smoking entirely. But even after a big panic attack, like I thought for real I was going to die, mm-hmm. I kept smoking. So the addiction was so deep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mm-hmm. it. I eventually started realizing that I didn't like living like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mess. I didn't have money. Everything around me sucked. I couldn't mm-hmm. keep good relationships with anyone. And one day I said, this has to stop. I gotta find a way. And mm-hmm. I kept trying, and eventually I come with the solution.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Would you say in a way that weed was your escape?
Yeah, for sure. I had a mm-hmm. big trauma, and I realized when I stopped smoking, like, this is why I have friends that can smoke a joint a week, and I have to be smoking 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had any problems with any other drugs, if you don't mind me asking?
No.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With was the one. And I thank God I didn't try any more, because if I got addicted to anything stronger, I wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's kind of interesting. I mean, would you say that it transitioned from this kind of a social use or perhaps a habit to addiction when this happened with your father, or was that before?
Yes, it is. You don't seem to, when you transition to a big, how do you say, a big addiction,
mm-hmm.
because when you start smoking, you tend to have a lifestyle that ends up in problems that may cause depression and
mm-hmm.
trauma and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, at first I wasn't. It was just a game. I was having fun. Everything was laughs. But yeah, it wasn't a harsh transition. It was mm-hmm. soft, and you don't really see it. If you saw it, I think you stop, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's a slope. I don't know how to say it. It's
a slow transition. It's very slide. You don't see it.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So, I mean, after you kind of, a visit to UK, you had this panic attack, and then I would imagine you came back to Spain.
Yes.
So at this point, did you kind of realize that perhaps weed is not necessarily helping you, or did that come at a later point?
I think it was a slow realization. At that point, I thought that yes, it was bad, but I need it. You know,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't like I help me sleep. No, it was like I needed to sleep. I need to eat. I need mm-hmm. to feel good. Mm-hmm. To feel normal.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what point you then decide you want to quit? Like, what was this kind of a, you know, ring the bell moment where you were like, okay, this got to stop?
It wasn't like that for me. It was an cumulative effect.
And mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, you start convincing yourself and justifying so hard that you actually start to believe your own lies, and you start to believe, no, I need to sleep, I need to eat, it relaxes me, and you keep saying all these lies to yourself and to others for years, and the process to start losing, to start believing in, no, this is a horrible thing and I don't need it at all and it's making my life miserable. It's a process that lasted years for me, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day I saw and I didn't believe it was making me any good. I hated it, but I was addicted. I don't know why. Someday I woke up and I know it was an addiction.
Yeah.
And even though I knew it was an addiction, I still kept going because it was so hard. I remember, like, I felt like I had two personalities. Like, okay, me, real me, and the addicted one. And so mm-hmm. I woke up every day saying, today is the day. I'm going to quit smoking forever. And a few hours come by and I was saying to myself, I'm going to quit on the way to the dealer. You know, and it's really strange to think back now because I'm not that person anymore.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, you know, saying that, I can completely relate to that. And I think that's definitely something perhaps not everyone, but definitely few of us go through when you kind of want to quit and you have this mental decision, especially the first few times you have this mental decision, okay, I'm going to quit. And then it's exactly like you said. I mean, at least that's how it was with me. In the evening, I would be all hyped up, obviously stoned. I would be like, okay, this is my last joint. You know, I would have this big old joint. I would put everything in there, you know, maybe make some music. I said, this is it. Like, tomorrow I'm quitting. And then in the morning, you know, I would clean the room. I would, like, you know, try not to do anything like too much. And then 2 or 3 hours later, I wouldn't even realize it first few months. I would be on an autopilot going to see my dealer. And in exactly this thing, it's like, it's almost like a dissociative personality, even though it's a bit of a stretch in a way. But yeah, I can definitely relate to that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, so for you, would you say that perhaps was this your first kind of attempt at quitting?
The first, you mean the...
Try, the first, yeah, when you kind of, no, after you no, came no. back, uh-huh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, what do you mean? Sorry.
Okay, so after you came back from England and you had this panic attack, and perhaps you realized that weed is not necessarily helping you anymore, right? Was this your first attempt? Was this your first try on quitting? Or did you try to quit before?
No, I tried to quit before.
Mm-hmm.
Not with, I don't know, not very seriously, because I had friends that have tried to quit before, and I say, like, this is the last joint forever. And they look at mm-hmm. me and say, forever? Like, what about in 1 year? And it's uh-huh. like, if you think like that, you're not going to quit.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that I tried to quit like that. Really not mm-hmm. giving my 100%.
Got it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you...
Yeah, yes. So, no, I tried like a couple, 3 times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what would you say you did differently then? What was this kind of a change that perhaps helped you, or like...
for starters, I went to visit my mother, so I knew I had to leave my town and my life for a few days because it's a cycle that repeats itself. You wake up, you are with friends that smoke, you have the dealer close and easy to call, and then whenever you feel a bit bad, you just beep beep and you have weed to smoke or whatever. So I knew I had to leave for a few days for have the mental ability to say no. And then I find a way for me. I thought, when I have problems, I tend to read and to find help. And I thought it's not about so much about willpower. It's also a training in your nervous system, because you logically know that something is bad, but your body it sees it as a treat. You know, whenever you come, like for example, a chocolate cake, you know it's bad for you, but your body says and I thought my body has to reject it too. Because if not, it's going to be impossible. I don't want to be that person that is 20 years without smoking and every single day thinks, whoa, a little joint, a little cigarette. No, no. Your body has to hate it too. Much like when you have your favorite food and you eat too much and then you cannot come close to it for a year. Yeah. So I tried to. When I came back from visiting my mother, and obviously all my friends smoked, or most of them, when I smell a joint close, I focus really hard, and I imagine my lungs getting rotten, my teeth getting dark, and all the things bad that it does to your body. And I really, really felt that. And I tried to be disgusted. And it really worked. I kept up associating disgusting things to the smell and the idea of smoking. And it really helped
I understand. I mean, that's actually... Sorry, go on.
No, please.
Yeah, no, that's what I was trying to say is that's actually a very interesting concept, and it's something I don't think I've heard before, but I can see how that would be kind of helping you in regards to. So in a way, if you before thought of weed like this beautiful thing that, you know, relaxes you, makes you giggle, makes you fun, perhaps makes your food taste better, then you kind of change this association to this stinky, disgusting black thing that makes your body.
Yeah, I saw it from a Anthony Robbins video. The idea was where he tried to make someone not addicted to pizza, and he called someone into the stage and he put a pizza in front of him, and he said, "Close your eyes and describe the perfect pizza. 10." And the guy starts telling, perfect cheese. And he goes, 8. And
lower and lower.
It's down lower. Yes. Mm-hmm. And he got to a 2. And the guy was starting like, and when he opened his eyes, he didn't want pizza anymore. So I said, that's what I got to do.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I, not only in my mind, in my body, I turned the treat of a joint into a punishment. So why would I want to punish myself in special occasions or that? Ridiculous. So I think that really helped.
Yeah, I can definitely see how that would work. And to be honest, in a way, that's almost similar to my method. Because, you know, what I like to do is I like to look at kind of a subconscious belief that each person has towards weed, something like you mentioned before, it helps me de-stress, it helps me be more sociable, It helps me keep focus, which then as you go into the depth and then as you start kind of, opening and digging through, you realize that perhaps it doesn't de-stress you. It doesn't help you with anxiety. It doesn't make food taste better. And that's kind of where my method goes, then changing those beliefs to actually uncovering the real truth rather than the beliefs that you took on throughout the years. But I can see how Tony Robbins model kind of goes at it. And that's very interesting. I never heard this with the pizza. So was that on the video actually? Or
it was, yes. If you look in YouTube and you type Tony Robbins pizza, you'll see it. Yeah, we have a lot of self-beliefs that we and start telling ourselves when we start smoking. And yeah, that's like the foundation of the addiction. If you start breaking one at a time, it crumbles down.
Mm-hmm. Even though I have to say, and I hope you don't mind me kind of observing this, I feel like there is a certain proportion of people using weed because they are punishing themselves in a way, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's almost like a kind of this self-destruction team.
I was there too.
So from that perspective, yeah. Go on, sorry.
No, I used it as auto-destruction for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So from that perspective, it's almost... You know, it would be interesting, like, you know, how would this method apply? But that's what I'm, I guess, getting at from that perspective. It would then be a little bit ineffective in a way because you're already aware that weed is it's not good for your body. You already know what it's causing you, yet you continue doing it, right? If that makes sense.
Yes, but how does your body react when it's with around, even though you think it's bad. Mm-hmm. It's as a treat. Like if you put a piece of chocolate cake, I'm going to start salivating, even though I know it's wrong. So that's why I thought about this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I never try to say to anyone, this is the way, because I know every addiction is different and every person is different and everyone has his own way, but there are things that can help.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Everyone has this way.
Right. So you kind of associate weed with perhaps, negative aspects of whichever the usage or the smoke or whatever the association was there. How did the story go from there? Have you had any withdrawals?
It was weird because that time I was so convinced that I didn't, but I have experienced them all, but not in the same time I tried to quit, but I have had problems sleeping, problems eating, rage burst. Every one of the symptoms I have read, I have experienced them, but not that time. So I was very lucky in that way. Also, I tried to keep my mind and my body busy. I actually lived with someone that was smoking at the time. So it was, I almost didn't spend a minute in my home, only for sleeping, and that helped.
So from if I understand correct, so you kind of had withdrawals later on, not from the beginning. Is that right?
No, I had other times that I tried to stop to quit smoking. I experienced the symptoms, but later that the last time I tried to, I didn't. So I don't know why. Like I don't know, but I didn't, luckily enough.
All right, so quickly, we've got someone commenting here asking, did you start cigarettes instead or alcohol?
No, I actually quit cigarettes before weed.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I used to smoke a lot of, if I wasn't smoking cigarettes, I was smoking joints.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, I truly invest my time in sport when I started climbing.
Mm-hmm.
And also I joined a course in, well, I don't know how to say it, like for the people that run camps for kids.
Okay.
Like the scouts and all those things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I met a lot of new people, different, that they didn't smoke and didn't have any intention to. So I kept my body and my mind busy.
Mm-hmm.
And that helped a lot.
Mm-hmm. So in a way, it's almost like you kind of found replacement in more healthier.
Yes, yes. No, mm-hmm. Not replacement for the weed, but for the time you spent.
Exactly.
Doing, yeah,
that's what I'm getting.
So because if you stop smoking and you don't have anything to do, what mm-hmm. do you think you're gonna end up doing?
Yeah.
So you need to be busy. That's
Righty. So I mean, you're about 6 months in. At that point, did you have any cravings?
I didn't, because I did this thing, but last time before this one, I relapsed 6 months in, because I found some joint in the, I work in a bar, and it was a bar where a lot of stoners went. So I found the joint and I relapsed. So this time I was wiser.
Uh-huh. Can I ask you, how did the relapse feel for you? Did you feel very down? Were you kind of disappointed?
Yeah. And also, it had an effect that so bad, like never felt like that with. Was, I remember one time I went to the mountain to smoke and go back. And in the way back, I almost couldn't walk. It was like, whoa, I never experienced this anytime I smoked. So, but yeah, it was awful. And a lot of people that knew me, that knew how well I was doing, they got really sad when they saw me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I got to a point that said, again, I need to quit this. Like, that this is not worth it, and my life is much worse with this stuff.
I understand. Right, so it was about 6 months in when you relapsed, and then you get yourself back on the feet, and yep. Now you've been sober for how long?
3 years and 1 month.
3 years and 1 month.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what is different? And I feel like this is one of those very typical kind of almost cliche questions when you go into, perhaps, you know, especially our leaves or you know, just addiction communities in general, like, why should I quit weed? Like, what changes is there? Like, what would you say is different comparing yourself 3.5 years ago when you were heavily smoking to today?
Wow, so much.
Mm-hmm.
I have grown as a person so much. I mean, I kind of felt like I was trapped in adolescence.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I feel like an adult right now. And also, thing I think is the most valuable for me is that I trust myself. And
mm-hmm.
there was a time when I didn't. And that's hard, you know?
Yeah.
The freedom that it gives you, like I don't need to smoke, I don't need mm-hmm. nothing. sorry, I'm not very used to speaking English.
Hey, you're doing perfectly fine, Lucas. I think everyone can understand you, so don't worry.
Yeah, when I smoked, it was always, I need something. I need lighter, I need weed, I need tobacco, I need paper, and that was so mentally taxing.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
the freedom of not needing anything to be yourself and to feel normal is
mm-hmm.
invaluable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and so many things. My relationships with everyone have improved. I mean, with my family, for starters, I have a girlfriend. I can trust myself, so I can take on responsibilities, and I know I'll be there because why not? I don't need to smoke or to hide. That's another thing. I kept dreaming. Sometimes I go and hide and smoke, and you don't need to. That's wonderful. There's so many things.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. And I think the number one reason that a lot of people perhaps ignore is the freedom, as you mentioned. You know, not worrying about when or how to get high.
Yeah.
You know, just this, I guess, careless in a way, but almost free thought kind of a brain that you can carry around almost in a way. And yeah, I can definitely relate to that, Lucas. Do you still get cravings nowadays?
Nope. I hate it.
You hate it?
And a few days ago, maybe a couple of weeks or three, I found a bat in the beach. I live in the beach. Mm-hmm. So I found weed. And I didn't touch it. I didn't think about smoking it or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really weird because it's a plant that you're smoking and inhaling the smoke. Is if you sit with a bit of distance, it's the normal thing to not do that. But I felt proud.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So no, I hate it. I hate the smell. I hate the people. The effect on people. I don't know. I don't. It doesn't cross my mind.
There's another comment here from Anthony. No more thinking. Do I look high? Exactly. That and red eyes, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you get red eyes?
What? Yes, yes. I got. Yeah. Also, I was really, really skinny with when I smoked, and you know, I looked like a zombie.
I feel like red eyes is very. It depends on the person. You know, I, for example, I rarely got red eyes, and the friends I was smoking with, yeah, majority of them didn't. But then I had some friends that needed to carry around these eye drops just because it got to the point where it was like, yeah, like you said, zombies. What's your... Sorry, go on, Lucas.
No, I was going to say that I got to a point that I also didn't got red eyes, but... because I was smoking all day long, so
yeah,
it was
nothing. Yeah, yeah, spot on. Yeah, I'm just out of curiosity. What's your stance on alcohol? Perhaps not necessarily cigarettes, but on alcohol.
My stand on any drug is that that includes alcohol. Is that they can be really bad for you, but I mean, I don't like how alcohol is promoted like it's not even a drug. Like you say drugs and then alcohol. At least in my country, nobody said drugs referring to alcohol. It's so socially accepted, and I find it really that part really bad. Mm-hmm. But I think with freedom comes responsibility. And I don't know if the persecution of the people that have an addiction is the best way to deal with it. For example, in my neighbor country, Portugal, all drugs are not decriminalized. It's not criminal to it's not criminal to be addicted because you're not a criminal. You're a sick person and you need help, not more punishment. So I think I really liked that the kind of way of dealing with it. But yeah, I don't like the promotion of any drug. Again, drugs can be really dangerous and they are detrimental to your health. And yeah, that's what they are. You can enjoy a little bit, but you have to know they're not good. Even alcohol, you can have a beer or two. I'm not going to judge. but they are bad for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
As long as if you know that, that's okay. You can do with your body whatever you want.
Anthony here is saying, it starts off with munchies, then food is sacrificed for more weed.
Yeah. Absolutely. And
yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. During the pandemic, the liquor stores are the only stores that stayed open. Money, money, money. I'm just out of curiosity, Anthony. So the dispensaries weren't open, like the weed shops. They didn't stay open. I'd be surprised. I mean, I know off licenses were open in England, but I think you're referring to American liquor stores. So I was just curious if the dispensaries stayed open during the pandemic. What's your opinion on the whole legalization, Lucas?
It's a sticky matter. I don't know if legalization, like in the States where all of the sudden there's stores everywhere, but I'm not inclined to legalize certain drugs, but to decriminalize, like in Portugal, I'm all for it. But for helping the people that are addicted. But in the other hand, it reduces traffic, legal traffic of drugs and mafias and all that stuff. And I don't know, it's really complicated. Matter.
Yeah.
Watching it from a simple perspective, I said legalized, but I know it's not that easy. And a lot of people, I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I think it's
a good idea.
To kind of add to that, and if I can insert my own opinion here, yeah, I definitely agree with legalization. Even though I think we should be much more careful and perhaps consider a more conservative and slightly more safe approach than perhaps America and Canada took on. But I definitely agree with legalization, even though I'm happy that you mentioned that perhaps decriminalization and legalization is not entirely the same. And I think for anyone listening, decriminalization, what Portugal is doing, and I think British Columbia now did it as well, I know Taiwan and a few other countries are doing, it's pretty much when you cannot get into the legal trouble. So the state will not take you to the court. However, the substance itself is not legal. Whereas the legalization is actually when the substance becomes legal. So it's no longer under the Prohibition Act, or whatever they still, act is there. And Anthony is here adding, weed shops stayed open, but they are not licensed. Wheat will always stay open now that it's taxed. And legalization is just done for government profit instead of for the people. I very much agree with that, Anthony.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on. What were you saying, Lucas?
No, that's the positive aspect of it. Mm-hmm. But it also for sure have negative. I mean, I figure. And one of the worst aspects for me is the easiness to get to the substance.
Yeah.
So it can be done, and I think for sure it has to bring benefits, but with care.
Absolutely. Right. Kind of closing down here and perhaps leaving politics for, the people in the suit. What would you do differently, Lucas, like going through this whole journey and perhaps being now 3 years sober, marijuana free, going back to perhaps your mid-20s or even 20s when this whole, not necessarily drama, but where this thing with your dad and your mom kind of happened took place, what would you do differently, if there is anything that you would do differently?
I mean, I would do everything differently. I'd probably get out of my house more because I was, as I said, my mother was in very hippie environment, so she didn't bother if I smoked in my house, inside. So that was a big problem for me because I only have to to go buy some and go home, and I spent so many years inside my house doing nothing, just watching stupid videos and eating junk food.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Also maybe treating my family better, but yeah.
Okay. On kind of a final note, would you like to add anything else, or perhaps for anyone out there struggling, or you know, just kind of having problems, or perhaps not such good relations with their family, what would you tell them?
I will tell them that family is one of the most important things, if not the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And it's never less than a joint or a while spent high. And also I like to say to them that it is possible, and you got to find your way. But if you are here, if you are listening to this, and if you are seeking help, then you are in the right path. You just need to keep going. And if you relapse, just keep going and find your way, and you will get out. But you have to know you will get out.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And I love that advice. And I think that's something we often forget, especially kind of the first time trying to quit. It's almost like we have this unreal expectation as how we should be, or we get disappointed very quickly when we relapse. But exactly like you said, keep going and never give up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Lucas, thanks so much for doing this. You've been an absolute legend. And stay on there, and we will close the stream for today, and we will see you on Thursday.
Awesome.